This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusea in for Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
But I'm doing 10 to 20 in the frozen granite state. And every day I go to work to stamp out license plates. But every day I go to work and every night I cry. Cause every license plate I make tells me to live free or die.
He was the slight, softly smiling, but hard-drinking bard of post-industrial New England. Bill Morrissey died suddenly of heart disease back in July at age 59. He was known for his loving but gritty portraits of burned-out mill towns and for his self-effacing contemplations on his own personal struggles.
You know, I didn't mean to shoot that man. Why, the gun just went off in my hand. But I caught him with my wife, and it cost that man his life.
And while Morrissey didn't have the kind of voice that would propel an artist up the charts, he was known as a songwriter's songwriter. So it's no surprise that some luminary songwriters are slated to play a tribute concert for their late friend this Thursday night at the Somerville Theater. And one of those songwriters is with us now from a studio near her home in Truro. Patty Larkin, welcome to Radio Boston. It's such a pleasure to have you.
That's great to be here, Adam, for this. Thank you.
What was your connection with Bill Morrissey?
We came up at about the same time. We were on the same label, Philo Rounder Records, and I met him around the time that he recorded that song. So he was quite popular and semi-famous when I met him. But I think when I really touch who he was for me, it's this person who really was very dedicated to his craft and dedicated to the art and soul of traditional music and reinventing it for the modern age.
As difficult a person as he was and as haunted as he was by his own personal demons, it seems like everyone who knew him loved him.
Well, he had a heart of gold. You know, he was privy to the human condition. He was able to see pretty deeply into people's personalities and the kind of veils that we put up in society and when we interact with people. And he was able to drop that with you, you know, and kind of call you on it. And there's a beauty to that, and I think there's also a weight to that knowledge. You know, I think of him as he has been called the Raymond Carver of songwriters, and that really kind of hits the nail on the head in terms of some of the really poignant, really sad, you know, observations and stories. He was a storyteller.
A song of Bill's that you're going to perform on Thursday is called Love Song, New York, 1982. Let's listen to a bit of that.
She could never see my heart. Back then it was a blur. But it's true, I was the handsomest man in New York when I walked down the street with her.
Patty Larkin, what do you like about this song?
Well, I remember when I first heard it, we were recording up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and it seemed to have like this sort of pop sensibility about it, which was different for his kind of writing. I really liked the chorus, the na-na-na chorus. And then as you listen more closely, it's just this series of memories, you know, that you just put you right there, like you're in a little movie with him.
Well, would you play your version for us?
Sure, I'd love to.
I remember her frightened eyes and her mouth so quick to mock. Listening late at night, surprised by a soft Midwestern talk. In the corner of a cafe as dark as an eclipse, well, she tried to smile, but her cheek lines put parentheses around her lips. Walked down Grand Street, the wind would blow us round and round. And all the talk was incomplete, so I just listened to the sound. She'd never know my heart. Back then it was a blur. But it's true, I was the handsomest man in New York when I walked down the street with her. Na 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 na. Up on the rooftop real slow, quietly waiting to get stung by Lester Young over that tiny radio. There were so many men in her eyes, I knew she never would be mine. Everyone must die alone, that's just how some men always walk the line.
Patty, you know, Bill was did not have a great voice. You know, he had sort of this sort of weak and wispy voice. So I feel like to hear someone like you, who is a really good singer, sing his song, it's almost like I'm hearing it for the first time. It reminds me of, hearing all the wonderful covers of Leonard Cohen songs that are out there.
Mm-hmm. It's such a learning experience, learning someone else's song, what they do with it, what they do with the inflections. And I think that that's... When I listened back, I was like, oh, my God, how am I ever going to do this any justice? Because he enunciates the words so perfectly. It is like Bob Dylan or Leonard Cohen in that, you know, the reading is so fresh and deep.
You're such a well-known, you know, New England institution in your own right. Even though you were born in Milwaukee, you spent some time elsewhere. You really started your career here at the Berklee College of Music and playing around Boston. I wonder, did Bill Morrissey have an impact on your own songwriting?
I know he did. Because he was such a perfectionist, it made you not want to slide. And, you know, they do say that your song's only as strong as your weakest line. And I think that he was meticulous in the way he wrote and the care that he took. I know which songs are Bill-influenced of mine.
I wonder if you might play a song for us that I like a lot of yours called Who Holds Your Hand. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
I think of this one as a wordplay song, sort of. It has to do with questioning where God and religion is in my life. And it's also another song that's a little bit of a movie for me whenever I sing it. Can't blame it on the moon no more, no. Can't blame it on the radar weather. Can't blame it on my lucky stars, my mother or my father. I'm holed up in the bell tower, looking for four walls to bounce off, looking for a donkey I could maybe pin a tail on, yeah. Ha-ha, yeah. Well, I've taken to staying up late, taking up bowling, take a couple aspirin, and I call my lover in the morning, and I take it to talking to myself, and I don't even get it. I gotta get out of my head, it'll drive me crazy if I let it. Who holds your hand when you're alone? Who holds your hand? I put a cup of tea on and I looked at Rand McNally, and I put a couple shoes on and I hurried down the alley. Now I'm driving down the highway trying to get the letter, rolling down the window and I'm sticking my neck out. Who holds your hand when you're alone? Who holds your hand?
when you're alone.
Patty, I love that song, and I love the image in the very first verse of being up in a bell tower looking for something to pin a tail on, you know, trying to find something to be the focus of your faith. Just out of curiosity, who does hold your hand when you're alone? Did you ever answer that question over the course of writing that song?
Yeah, I think you pull into that deeper part of yourself, your sense of yourself. And for me, I grew up Irish Catholic. I'm not going to walk away from that. So there are aspects of that that I pull from and use. And obviously family. I have a wonderful partner and two wonderful little kids and my community. I think that really does it for me.
Well, Patty Larkin, it's been such a pleasure.
Adam, it's really been a wonderful time. Thank you for having me.
Patty Larkin is a legendary singer-songwriter. She joined us from the Outer Cape where she lives. Her latest album is called 25, and she'll be playing the Bill Morrissey Tribute Concert this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Somerville Theater. The incredible lineup for that show also includes the likes of Peter Case, Sean Colvin, Mark Arely, and David Johansen from the New York Dolls. It's just going to be an incredible show.
I'm very excited to see some old friends, and it's going to be very emotional, obviously, and uplifting as well.
Patty, would you just play us out on something of your own?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. This is called Good Thing. Well, I've heard enough, and I've...
Well, that's it for today. And before we go, we want to clear something up from a little earlier in the show. We were talking about a bill in the Massachusetts legislature that would automatically deny parole to certain three-time violent offenders.
Our guest suggested that the bill would automatically sentence such offenders to life. After looking at the bill again, it's clear that what the law would do is only deny parole to those convicted of three violent offenses, not necessarily result in a life sentence.
Well, tomorrow on Radio Boston, Daily Show humorist and Brookline native John Hodgman on his new book, That Is All.
So excited for that. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangle@boston.com. Anthony Brooks will be back tomorrow. I'm Adam Ragusea.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, so do join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.